Move into this message today. The last several weeks, the Lord's been really laying on my heart something, and I feel like this is what he spoke to me clearly this week. And actually Tuesday this week, I was in prayer here in our intercessory prayer, and I was right down here in the front, and the Lord clearly spoke this word to me. And this is what he said. He said, "Bill, it's personal. It's personal." And that's the title of the message today, "It's Personal." Okay, so I want you to look at somebody and say, "It's personal." This following Jesus thing, it's personal. It's always been personal. How many of you know that? It's always been personal. He made it personal from the very beginning. He intended it that way. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, then God said, "Let us make human beings in," say it with me, "our image, to be like," who? "Us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals of the earth, and all the animals, small animals that scurry along the ground." Verse 27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I mean, let's just be clear. Verse 27 is God saying, let me just be clear. Let me just be clear. I created human beings. We created human beings in our image. Who's our? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? We created human beings in our image. In the image of God, he created them. To male and female, he created them. Can he make it any more clear than that? No. There's no mistaking this for anything but personal. It's personal. We were made in the image of God to be like God. Even though we disobeyed and we ate from the tree of death, he continued to walk with us personally and make personal promises to us. He personally walked with Abraham and promised him that he would protect him and reward him by causing his descendants to outnumber the sands on the shores. And then he tested Abraham in this relationship with Abraham to see if Abraham really believed how personal it was. Right up to the point that Abraham raised the knife above his son, and then God personally provided a sacrifice. He personally walked with Moses and appeared to Moses many times personally. And then Moses told Joshua, just before Joshua went into the promised land, Moses said this in Deuteronomy 31:6. He said, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never leave you nor abandon you." He personally walked with Samuel and had many conversations with him. Even when Samuel wasn't paying attention, God personally called out to him once again. He personally walked with Deborah and used her mightily to judge Israel. He personally picked out David, the most unlikely of all his family. And he personally anointed him and used him in a grand display on the day in the Valley of Elah. It was very personal to the Lord and to David. And you can hear it in David's voice and in his tone when he said, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds of the air and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here today will know that the Lord personally rescues his people." But not with sword and spear. No, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you to us. The battle is the Lord's. Then Father God took it to another level. He took it to a whole another level when he made this promise in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. He says, in all their suffering, he also suffered, and he personally rescued them. Oh, come on. He personally rescued them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them through all the years. See, this promise right here, that was the promise of Jesus coming. Jesus came in human form. He personally came to live among us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he, say it with me, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. He personally carried our sins. Look at somebody and say, it's personal. It's personal. He personally came. He personally died. And he personally rose again on the third day. He did it for us because it's personal. He personally walked with his followers. He ate with them. He worked with them. He went fishing with them. He broke up their squabbles. He shared the gospel with them. He went to wedding celebrations with them. He laughed with them, and he cried with them. He was personally with them. He didn't leave them when the going got tough. He didn't leave them when they weren't acting right. Come on, y'all. Aren't you glad he doesn't leave us when we're not acting right? Aren't you glad that he sticks and he stays? Jesus made it crystal clear that it's very personal. Especially when he said things like this in John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, he said, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. It doesn't get any more personal than that. Why did Jesus say these type of things? Why did he say, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood? Why did he say, if you don't take up your cross, you're not worthy of being mine? Well, there's two reasons. One, because it's true. Yeah. Amen? It's true. Yeah. If you're not willing to give it all for Jesus, then you're not worthy of Jesus. Oh, come on, y'all. Yeah. If you're not willing to give it all, then you're not worthy of him. He said it, not me. He said it. I just read it to you. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. He personally said, if you're not willing to take up your cross and surrender all and give it to him, you're not worthy of being his. So it's true. We got to give it all. We have to be willing to lay it all down. But the second reason is because large crowds were following him at that time. And he knew their hearts and he knew their motives. And so Jesus said things like this because he understood what was in their hearts. He said this, this is recorded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 25. It says, large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from the east of the Jordan River. At that time, many crowds were following him. Sometimes up to 30,000 people were following Jesus and gathering when he would teach. And so what was Jesus saying these things for? Because he knew their hearts and their motives. Many people in these crowds were following him for personal gain, not because they were interested in a personal relationship. I'm going to say it again. Many people were following him for personal gain, not because they were interested in a personal relationship with Jesus. They just wanted their needs met. They just wanted something from him. They wanted something from him. They didn't want a relationship with him. And so Jesus would say things like this, and he says things like this, and when we read things like this, this is why we feel what we feel when we read the Word of God sometimes, because Jesus said things for impact. He didn't just say things to say things. He said things so that they would grab our hearts and shake us, so that they would get a hold of us, because Jesus is not satisfied that we stay the same way over and over, day after day. Jesus wants a personal change in our hearts. And he wants to be personally responsible for making that happen. So he personally came, and he personally spoke these things to people. Paul warned the Romans about this type of behavior of only wanting personal gain and following Jesus. This is what he said in Romans chapter 16. He said, "And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out." Now, let me just stop before I even say this. I'm going to tell you, he's speaking to the church. Let's look at somebody, say, he's talking to the church. He's speaking to the church here. Okay, some of you might read this and go, well, he's talking about people out in the world. Nope, he's talking about the church. So let's make it clear. He says, "Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught." Let me just stop right there and say this. Teaching is not just words. Teaching is not just words. You can say all the words you want to say, but if you don't back the words up with action, it means nothing. So you can teach the Word of God all day long, but if your actions don't line up with what you've taught, then nobody's going to believe what you're saying. Teaching has impact when teaching is trusted, when it's backed up by words. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power." It's not just a lot of talk, it's living by God's power. So Paul is warning the Romans. He's saying, beware of people like this. Watch out for people like this. Now, let me finish that verse, verse 17. It says, "Watch out for people like this who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Watch, stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interest. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy, and I want you to be wise in doing what's right and stay innocent of any wrong." Listen to me. I'm going to move on, but I want to stop here for a second and say this. Why was Paul saying these things? Paul was saying these things to warn fellow believers to watch out. The Word of God says in another section that people like this are dangerous reefs that you can become shipwrecked on. In other words, if you don't watch out and navigate through the waters the way the Lord directs you, you'll get shipwrecked on these dangerous people. They will lead you astray by their teachings. And I'm telling you this as a congregation. It's been heavy on my heart for the past couple of months to tell our congregation, watch out. In the last days, many false prophets will arise in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, many will come in my name, in my word, proclaiming these things to you. Watch out for them. You have to beware of people. If their actions do not line up with the words, then beware. They can say one thing but act another way. Many people will be deceived by this. Jesus said this. He said, even the elect can be deceived by people like this. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, and you may not want to come next week because I'm about to tell you what the message is about, but here we go. Jesus already spoke to me. He spoke to me yesterday and said, next week I want you to preach the message true or false. True or false. Because he said, in the last days, many false prophets will arise. I can't tell you, I'll show you next week how many times Jesus warned us about the false. Because you might be going, man, Pastor, you've been talking about this a lot lately. Why am I talking about it? Because Jesus talked a lot about it. Because the Word of God talks a lot about it. Because God, listen, we don't just come together to build one another up and to sharpen one another and to rah, rah, let's go Jesus and go out into the world. We also have to take the other part of the Word of God and warn each other about what can happen out there. Amen. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, I don't want to stand before Jesus because he called me to be responsible for anybody that comes into this flock that he's given me. It's his flock. You're his sheep. You're his sheep. You're not mine. You're his. But he called me to be responsible for you. If you call this your church and me your pastor, I'm responsible. I will have to stand before Almighty God and look him face to face and give an account for what I did here in this church. And I'm not going to stand before him and him say, "You didn't warn my people." I'm not going to do it. We have to balance this thing, grace and truth. We have to balance this thing. It has to be balanced. We can't just be all grace, 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 grace. Grace is wonderful. Aren't you thankful for grace? But we have to have truth as well. And the truth is, there are dangerous people out there who will cause you to go astray if you listen to the teaching that they're teaching and you don't understand the Word of God. So don't ever take anything. I've told you this for myself. Don't ever just take anything that I read as the Word of God. You see it on the screen, and I tell you to turn to it. You go home and you study it, and you study the Scriptures before and the Scriptures after, and make sure that I'm putting it in the proper context. And if you don't think I am, come and talk to me. Tell me. Warn me. Please warn me if you see something that I'm teaching that's wrong. I invite you to. I really do. I mean that with a sincere heart. So, listen, I'm going to move on. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7 about these type of people. He said this. He said, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven." So just so you're aware of what he's saying, he goes into further context about this because he doesn't want you to misunderstand this. This doesn't mean people from the world will come in and get before Jesus and go, "But Lord, Lord." No, he makes it clear in verse 22. He says, "On judgment day, many will come to me to say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we performed many miracles in your name, in the name of Jesus.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law.'" Now, how many of you, like me, feel like that's really strong words? How many feel like that's strong? How many of you want to hear those words on Judgment Day? I got somebody. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to be like, "Yeah, Jesus, say that to me." What we want to hear is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? Well done. You can raise your hand now, Paula. That's what I want to hear, yes. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to all that I have prepared for you." That's what we desire to hear. But Jesus said, "Many will come in my name and proclaim and say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things?'" I mean, think about what he's saying here for a second. Many are going to come and say, "Lord, we prophesied." Okay, some of us have prophesied. We cast out demons. Have you ever cast out a demon from somebody before? That's a big deal. We cast out demons. We performed many miracles in your name. So there can be people out there casting out demons, prophesying, performing miracles in the name of Jesus, but Jesus doesn't know them. Oh, come on, y'all. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's dangerous. That's why this is personal. It's personal. We can't just flippantly go out there and follow somebody that's claiming to follow Jesus unless we know that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. And that means that everything that they teach lines up with the Word of God and everything they do lines up with the Word of God. This word, "knew," "I never knew you," many of you probably know this. It's the word gnosko in the Greek, gnosko. And we've said this to you many times before, and you've probably studied it, but gnosko means intimately. When Mary said to the Lord, I never knew Joseph, I haven't known him, Joseph, she was talking about intimately. I've never known him intimately. That's the same word. I never had an intimate relationship with you, Jesus was saying. I've never had a personal relationship with you. Romans 14:11 says, for the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of you will give a, look, personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. John 14. I want to kind of bring this to a close with this scripture, but God told me to do something today, so after the scripture, I'm going to do something that he told me to do. John 14, verses 15 through 21, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him. You know him. You're intimate with him. Same word, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. How many of you have Jesus living in you? In you. Personally, he's in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and I will reveal myself to, look at this, each of them. It's personal. It's personal. It's always been personal. From the very beginning, it was personal, and it's still personal today. It will never be anything but personal. So my question to you is this: are you following him personally? Are you allowing him to be personal with you? Or are you following the crowd, Jesus? Do you see him personally and intimately? Do you have that relationship? Do you have that conversation with him personally? Are you walking with him personally and talking with him personally every day? Are you allowing him to speak personally into your life and correct you and help you along the way? It's personal. Look at somebody again. Say, it's personal.